Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though if you shaved my head and spit in my eye, I would still date you. My guest today, oh boy, I adore her. She is a plus size fashion fucking icon. You've done like collaborations with people. You've had your own clothing line. It is Nicolette Mason.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my God. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
It's a real treat. I was just talking about your outfit today. We're talking a beautiful white crisp blouse, a black leather jacket, a Gucci belt, some jeans that fit like a dream. Are these Chanel shoes? What are they?
They are. I put on my flats.
It's a look.
Chanel,
I love
ballet
it.
Flat. Yeah.
They're very cute.
Chic.
When did you get into fashion?
I mean, I was born and raised in LA, so I feel like I had no choice. Plus, I'm Iranian, and like Iranian culture is so image obsessed in every single way, shape, and form that I feel like I had no choice but to care about fashion. Like growing up in LA is a really weird experience, but
is it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I've only like lived in LA and been like, people here are slightly strange.
Well, it's very strange. It's an interesting value system we have here. But I mean, every stereotype of LA comes from a place, you know. So I kind of like grew up loving fashion, but I got to this place where I for sure knew as a plus size girl that I would never actually work in fashion, so I could just be peripheral to it. And I went to school at Parsons and I studied business for fashion and kind of like fell into it professionally in a very roundabout accidental way.
But was it with your blog?
It was through my blog, fully through my blog, which I just started as a hobby in 2008. So I graduated from college. I was working at a design firm and started my blog. Didn't think anyone would ever look at it. Like literally it was Pinterest for myself and only me. My mom read it. I had this day once where 70 people looked at my blog and I was like, oh my God, 70 people. 12, 13 years later almost, we're here doing really fun stuff.
I love it. Yeah. It's always so interesting when like when the ball starts rolling and you're like, I can't believe 12 people looked at my thing today.
I know.
I have 50 likes and then you're like 100 likes and you're like, oh my God, like
real people are consuming my content and like asking me questions about shit.
Yeah.
People love to ask me where I get things. And I'm like, I have the same resources you have.
Mm-hmm.
I just Google a lot of like, I wanted a leopard print sweater. So yeah. I Googled plus size leopard print sweater and I found one.
It's really amazing, like the options that now exist. Mm-hmm. But I think people, they haven't had any for so long that there is kind of this like cool discovery and resource sharing. And maybe that's why blogging worked when I started it 12 years ago, because no one knew where to find things and they didn't really exist as much then as they do now.
Mm-hmm.
But God, it's like really evolved in a major way.
I discovered ASOS from you.
Really?
Yep. I was on your blog and you were wearing something from ASOS and I was like, oh, what is this ASOS? And then I went to the website and I was like, oh my goodness, there's so many things that will fit me here.
So many.
It truly just like opened up this whole world. It was a real treat.
Oh my God, I'm going to send them this. Like, please.
I mean, I love ASOS. Free returns. It's great.
It's
I
so
love
easy.
It. So easy.
Yeah.
You leave it for your mailman picks it up, and then it's just gone from your life, and you don't have to worry about it.
It's really incredible.
And they're really great about refunding you pretty quickly.
Yeah. And there really is like something for everyone, which I love. And they've launched sustainability initiatives. So they have like their own brands now that are sustainable. And I don't work for them. I don't make money from them.
Neither but, do I. I just love ASOS.
Exactly.
Was dating in LA as a plus size person, what a boring question, but I'm gonna ask. But like growing up, was dating hard?
So I didn't really date growing up. I don't know. So I guess yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up in LA. I went to a really small Jewish school my whole life. And I grew up with like the same group of 130 people, like literally from mommy and me until I went to college. I cannot imagine having dated a single one of the people I grew up with. It's literally nauseating to me. So I didn't really date in high school. And then I went to college and kind of like figured out I was gay. So that was another piece of it. I feel like a lot of other queer people, like they don't really date when they're young because we're figuring it out. And yeah, so I didn't date at all until I was in college. And then that was an interesting experience because I was like navigating my sexuality plus my body plus figuring out my self-worth in a really accelerated way. And it was really hard. And like, I don't feel like I gave myself enough credit at all. I was just like, I'll take whatever I can get. Oh my God. Like, I could have done so much better than a lot of the people. No offense. Like, you know, I dated some amazing people in my early dating years too, and in my early 20s, but like, I could have done a lot better. Yeah.
I feel like queer or not, everybody realizes that.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, you hit 30 and you're like, oh my God. Every person I thought was the one or that I was in love with in my early 20s was a piece of fucking trash. And I should have thought more of myself to be like, oh, I don't need this. I don't need you.
Yeah.
But like in your early 20s, you're just like, I'll take it. Looked at me. You blinked at me. I want it.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is, I'm going to go really sad for a second, but I like have this very distinct memory of my parents talking to me. And I have a younger sister who's super petite. She's really pretty. She's 5'1" and like a size 0-2. Like we don't look related. Like we have totally different bodies, very different experiences. And as a child, her as a child, me as like probably a 12, 13 year old, I remember my parents telling me, like, you have to work really hard and be really studious. Like, we don't worry as much about Natalie, who's my sister.
Oh, boy.
But you have to work really hard and think about your career and your academics because you might not get married and have someone to take care of you. And so, like, that really, in a big way, shaped the way I thought about myself and my worth and potential to, like, have a romantic life because I was like, oh, I'm going to be alone forever. And if anyone does show interest in me, like, I should be very grateful for it. I mean, I've, like, processed that with my parents big time and, like, for sure they did not mean for it to be like quite as traumatizing as it was for me personally.
But like on the flip side, it is good advice.
No, it's great advice, but not to rely on anyone.
Suck you up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, why can't it be both? Like, don't rely on anyone. Be a badass at your career. Also, like, don't settle for a piece of shit romantic partner. And I feel like I only got one side of that. Yeah.
My mother would say, well, as a fat black, she'd be like, you have to work twice as hard as your little white friends because I grew up in an all-white neighborhood. Also, I, like, dreamt of going to school with my hair wet. Which is an insane thing to like be like, maybe one day my mom won't blow dry my hair and I'll wear my hair wet in a ponytail. So like I just wanted to do the things that these other white girls were doing. And my mother was like, you are different. Like you have to act differently. You have to work a little bit harder. I don't know if she ever told me about, oh, she did. She was like, I'd be like, oh my God, I love this boy. And she was like, well, that boy's probably not going to bring you home to his parents. And I'd be like, okay. Okay.
Did she ever say why, or was that just, like, for you to figure out?
No, because I was black and fat. So, and, I mean, she was right. I didn't date anybody until my 20s.
Yeah.
So, but then that, like, that did stunt me a little bit, because then I was like, oh, if this person is showing interest in me, I am so grateful. I am so lucky. I can't believe, even when I date now, I'll be like, oh, they only like me because I'm a comedian. And then even if they're like, I don't, I've never heard you. I've never heard your comedy. I just know what you do, but I don't consume your content. I'm like, he's lying. They're lying.
Yeah.
They know me. And that is like a little thing in my brain that is hard to turn off.
Yeah. It's so hard. We're socialized like literally from childhood to put and assign all of our value based on our physical appearance, one, but then also like the way other people interpret our physical appearance. So even if you have great self-image, it doesn't really matter because maybe no one else thinks of you that way.
Yeah.
Like, that's so fucked up.
I had an interview today where the lady ended it with, you seem so happy and so positive and so confident. How? And I was like, how?
Oh my God. It's literally my least favorite question in the world. How do you get so confident?
Yes.
And I'm like, why the fuck wouldn't I be confident? I'm amazing.
Yes. And I said, I was like, well, I mean, if you're talking about appearance wise, I just choose to look in the mirror and not hate what I see. It's not the easiest choice, but like, I understand that I can change the way I look.
Yeah.
And I can put on something different. I can put on a different wig. I just choose not to be miserable. And she was like, oh. And it seemed like she never thought of that.
Yeah.
It's so, the way we live is so crazy to me. Oh, have you ever done dating apps?
I have done dating apps. I got married before Tinder existed. And then, you know, I kind of got unmarried-ish. It's a process.
Sure.
It's still in,
it's complicated.
You know, it's a thing. But yeah, I met my ex through OkCupid originally, pre-app OkCupid. Like, had
so,
to
like,
log
you
on
had to,
to
log
a
on
website.
On your computer.
Yeah. And that was fun. It was interesting. And, like, I certainly, like, lurked a lot earlier than that on the websites. When we broke up, I wanted to swipe for fun. I hated it. It's miserable. The swiping is horrendous. And in LA especially, it's like really bad.
Yes.
It's really bad. Like Tinder is probably the worst. Bumble is like less bad. But and then I signed up for Raya, which I thought would be really funny.
What is your experience on Raya?
I mean, they approved me. So
how long did it take?
I had a referral.
I also had a referral and it took 2 years.
Okay, so Gabby had the same thing happen. So that is an investigation.
This literally confirms that it's racist because
I think it is.
Gabby
racist.
Is very well known.
Yeah.
She's another popular plus size blogger and gorgeous.
Yeah.
And that's insane. Yep, that literally confirms all of my suspicions.
It definitely, my experience lurking Raya was like, wow, there's a lot of white models who don't seem to do much else. Good for them. But like, okay, I kind of see what's going on here. there was like a second where, just because I was curious about who was on it, I opened my Raya to like men and women. Mm-hmm. There were a lot more like men of color in my anecdotal experience. Not a lot of women of color. Nope. Yeah, I feel like now they're going to ban me for talking about it, which is fine because I'm happily in a relationship. But but I'm like holding on to that Raya membership.
I mean,
I don't know why. Like, why do I want to be a part of some racist dating club?
Because they made it so elusive and mysterious and interesting. And like, I've been on it. And it's not elusive and it's not interesting. But,
no.
And I like unsigned up for it. But then I was like, but Channing Tatum's on. So I might as well get
so
back
now,
on. Who knows who I'll find on there?
I know.
Yeah. Apps are truly like exhausting.
So exhausting.
Because you'll talk to someone, you'll be like, okay, I think this person's a little good egg. And then you meet them, you're like, ugh, you're a bad egg. I don't like you. So I've taken to not talking very much on the apps. Like,
yeah.
Yes or no answers, which make me seem very uninteresting. But I don't know. If you want to try it, ask me out on a date. I've also stopped asking people out on dates. They have to ask me.
Oh, I like that rule. That's a good rule. Yeah. My thing with dating apps when I was using them was like, I'm not looking for a pen pal. So either we're hanging out right now or never. And that worked for me because it filtered out like a lot of flakiness. But yeah, I don't want to be single. Not ever again, I won't say. Like, I'm, you know, realistic about life being life, but I don't miss being single.
Yeah, I don't like it.
No.
I'm very much over it.
I know.
And I'm just looking for a relationship.
Why won't anyone date you?
I don't know. That's the big question.
Wow.
I don't know. I've come to terms with I like to chase people. That's a thing I just discovered, that I like to chase people. And when I'm dating men, they don't necessarily like to be chased. And then women, I tend to chase them to a point and then they chase me and then I'm not interested because I don't like being chased. It's a weird thing. I don't know.
Have you tried the new Lex app?
What's Lex?
Oh, my God. It's like the new. So do you know the personals page? It was a page on Instagram and it was lesbian personal ads.
Most, no.
Not lesbian exclusively, but like queer, non-binary, et cetera, personals ads. And people would write out copy. So it wasn't based on like photos or anything. It was literally, I am this and I'm looking for this. So like, I'm a femme leather top looking for a submissive XYZ who wants to read comic books and have a slumber party. Like,
okay,
this is the ad. And it turned into an app that I don't have, but I should as a, you know, show of support and solidarity, download it and play with it and maybe find friends on it as well. Yeah, it's all like text-based.
Oh.
And I'm very intrigued, probably in the same way that like OkCupid was my preferred platform. Like, I liked the essays. I liked learning a little bit about people rather than just looking at their photos and then, you know, falling visually in love with an absolute idiot. It's a trap.
It is a trap. I don't know, but I also think words are a trap. Because you can be a great wordsmith, you can write these incredible essays, and then you meet the person, you're like,
oh my God, it's like face tune of the mind. It's face tune of the mind.
Yes.
Wow.
Face tune of the mind is very funny.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. God, I think the answer is just not to date.
I mean, honestly, that's what it feels like. It's like dating is just hard. This interview that I did earlier, they were like, so what advice do you have for dating? And I said, oh, I've been given a lot of advice. I've been told to be myself, not too much of myself. Give them a little, but not too much, and be mysterious. And he was like, oh, that sounds confusing. And I was like, yeah, buddy. Did you think I was going to have like a good answer for you?
Right.
No, then we would all just be so happy and in relationships.
Yeah. I do think that there's like something to be said for the weight that culturally, obviously, relationships are weighted so heavily. And it's just like this thing that you are expected to do that is a factor in your value and your worth and the way people see you. It's like, what if we took that away and people were just in relationships because they really wanted to be and that was it? And how would that like shift the dynamic of dating in general?
I think it would make people chill out a little bit more. Because, like, I don't have the thing in my mind where I'm like, I'm past 30. I have to find somebody and start a family because I don't know if I want a family. My mother had me late. She had me at 39. So, like, if I have a child at 39, 40, like, that's fine with me.
MBD. Science.
Yeah. Who cares? I just want to share my life with somebody. That seems really interesting to me.
So something I've been talking about with some of my friends lately is, like, what about just, like, platonic companionship? And you designate a best friend to, like, live with and have as your support. And then you, like, also have sex with whoever you want. But, like, what if our platonic relationships became those relationships?
Well, I have a platonic best friend who I speak to, like, every single day. But, like, she doesn't service the need I have for, like, intimacy. That would be, like, that's the only thing. Like, sure, I could be super happy with her and have her be my very best friend who I tell all my secrets to and share my life with. But, like, I want a best friend who I also fuck.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Like, I someone who, like, undeniably gets me, laughs at everything I say. I laugh at everything they say. We just, like, move in tandem and, like, have really great sex.
Yeah, so a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amber, full circle.
Right back to where we started.
Yeah.
Did you meet your current partner on a dating site or in person?
So, kind of both. We met through my best friend and then also matched on Tinder. And my ex, funny enough, like, also used to hang out with them. And so they were encouraging. They were like, yeah, you guys should hang out, which is a funny dynamic to have with your ex. And so, yeah, so I did that thing where we, like, matched, and I was back and forth between LA and New York, and I was in New York, and I was like, okay, either we're, like, hanging out and going on a date, or I'm never talking to you again because I don't want a pen pal, and I'm here for a few days, like, this is my life. We hung out, and very quickly fell in love, which is so cliche, but true. And yes, so to answer your question, we did meet kind of on an app, but also really because my best friend was like, yeah, you two got to do this. So, you know,
when did you know? When did you know that you were in love?
I think I resisted it for a while, honestly. I was just like, no, like, this is just someone I'm going to have fun with, and I'm still healing and going through this journey, and I don't need to be in a serious relationship. So I, like, really didn't want to put a label on what we were doing, or even, like, I got really weird about, like, planning things for the future. Like, going on trips together or planning dates in advance or booking concert tickets, things like that. I was like, that's too serious for me right now. So in a weird way, I had, like, a really hard time leaning into the relationship early when we started dating. But there were just a few moments where my girlfriend would go, like, really out of her way to do something super thoughtful that I had never experienced before, like, that level of thoughtful intimacy. And I would just be like, oh, my God, no, I'm, like, seriously in love. And it was, like, probably, you know, 3 months into dating, meeting each other. But they'd be like, oh, shit, no, I can't be in love. I can't be in love. Like, it's too soon. It's not. I need to, like, fully heal from these other things that have happened. And I don't know, probably, like, a full year and a half, 2 years in, I was, like, still waiting for the other shoe to drop. I was like, this can't be real. Like, something is going to happen. I'm going to find out that she's actually awful. And my therapist was like, you really need to realize, like, there might not be another shoe. And I was like, no, no, no. You don't understand. This is my history. Like, there will always be another shoe. Yeah, like, almost 3 years in, there hasn't been another shoe. So I'm just walking around with one shoe. It's Chanel, so it's fine.
So it's fine. But, it's designer.
Yeah. But God, I really am a lesbian. I just like, you know, we fall in love so fast.
I think that's just
it's fun.
Women.
Is it? Is it just biology?
I think it is biology. My therapist has explained that, like, most women, once they've had sex with someone attached to them.
That's not me.
Oh.
No. No, like, I could, like, very much be an unattached. I really hope my mom doesn't listen to this ever. like, very slutty and unattached forever and oh. not grow feelings. And, like, I'm not jealous. Like, that is not, for me, that is not the thing that, like, I emotionally bond to.
What's the thing you emotionally bond to?
God, this, I'm going to sound like I'm lying, but, like, honestly, emotional intimacy, probably more than physical intimacy. But I want to hear more about what your therapist said.
Well, my therapist just said that something happens in women's brains that when they have sex, they then, like, latch onto that person because it's like, another level of intimacy. Mm. And for me, that is mostly correct. Like, if I go out with somebody, have a nice time with them, and I'm like, oh, I feel like we've connected. And then we have sex. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I can see a future, and I'll move in, and we'll fall in love, and we'll get married.
That's so interesting. You, like, imprint on people once you have sex.
Mm-hmm. Or when they're nice to me. Like, if you're nice to me, I will be like, not in love. No, yeah, in love with you. Like, if someone is nice to me, I'm like, okay.
Do you think that's because, like, the bar was so low in our childhood socialization of how people, like, we were taught people viewed us?
Probably. But I think the sex for me has to do with a lot of gentlemen growing up and in my early 20s are like, you're a great friend. You're very funny. I like being near you. I like talking to you about the girls I date and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'm always the friend. So if someone sleeps with me, I'm like, I'm not the friend.
Right.
I'm the girlfriend now. You'll love me. And then that has not ever gone anywhere.
So do you, like, wait a long time to have sex with people?
No, which is bad.
It's not.
The internet keeps telling me it's bad.
Really?
Yeah, I keep Googling. How terrible is it to sleep with someone on the first date? And then I've gotten so many articles that are like, ooh, let me see if I can find one.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Where I might have bookmarked one.
Like, I want to know the source that's telling you it's bad to sleep with someone on the first date.
Truly.
Like, is it Patty Stanger? Because I feel like she would give that advice. Or, you know, like, some horrible women's magazines would give that advice.
Oh, I guess I didn't bookmark this one. But I did bookmark dating trends to know in 2020.
Oh, what are some of the trends?
From Keanuing to Paxmanning. I don't know what that means.
Pac-Manning? Like the video game?
I think so. Okay, ooh. So Keanuing is inspired by Keanu Reeves' new unexpected girlfriend. So he did a total Keanu. I wouldn't have put them all together. That's when someone new, when you get together with someone new and it's a match that surprises people. I have never heard anyone say,
literally, they Keanu'd. No one's ever said that. And no. Can we discuss the fact that his total surprise was dating a woman in his age bracket? Like,
it's
what?
Very funny. Jekylling. The usage is, he seemed sweet, if a little persistent. When I told him I wasn't interested in pursuing anything with him, he turned and went full Jekyll on me. He was a different person. So that's someone who's nice and then turns nasty.
Oh, a Gemini.
Flatlining is when a conversation goes dead and no one knows how to resurrect it. I don't think
these
are real.
Trends?
I don't, this is a wild... It's in the metro.co.uk. Rossing is when you date someone casually and you're not an official couple, but they pull you for seeing other people. We're on a break. This is an insane
we're on
thing.
A break.
I should have read this before reading this.
I think this was the right way to go. I feel I've learned a lot of trends about dating in 2020.
There's faux monogamy. So that's when someone pretends to a person that they're dating that they're monogamous, but they're not. That's mean. Deja ew. That's the feeling of repulsion when you're browsing a dating app or come across an ex or someone you've dated previously. L said, that's when someone suddenly freezes you out without explanation. This is Caspering. What is that?
Ghosting.
Oh. But that why would you just say ghosting?
Also, how is it different than L saying?
I don't know. It seems like these people are really trying to make
fetch happen.
A lot. I mean, yes, truly. But the article I read about sleeping with someone on the first date, he was like, it was a weird man with like bright blonde hair. And he said, all right, so you made this mistake. There is a way to rectify it. And one of his advices was, don't wait for them to wake up. Leave before they wake up. And then
great advice.
And then don't call them for 3 days and don't say, I want to see you again too soon. And then one of his pieces of advice was to show up where they were, like figure out from social media where they are and just show up and be like, wow, crazy to see you here.
So this article stipulates also that you are Googling while still in bed following this date. Uh-huh. And your thought process is like, oh, my God, I'm in this bed of a person I went on mm-hmm. a first date with. What the fuck do I do, Google?
Yep.
No.
Yep.
That doesn't happen. Maybe mm-hmm. it happens.
I did it.
You Googled it from.
Well, no, I did not Google it from the bed.
Right.
So, I Googled it. So I slept with this person and then was like, oh, I think I like them. And then I was like, oh, I think I ruined it because I slept with them. So then before texting them, I Googled. I was like, is it bad? And then all of the articles were like, yeah, terrible. You're bad.
Wow. I think sleeping with someone on the first date is pretty much like the way to go.
I also think so. But according to the internet, it doesn't seem to be.
I mean, I feel like I just want to know like right away if someone's really bad at sex.
Yes.
Or if we have physical chemistry.
Yes. I waited 6 dates to sleep with this one person who then could not achieve an erection and then was mad about it and then didn't do anything else to me. And I didn't know how to articulate just because you can't, like, penetrative sex isn't the only right. type of sex. And I didn't know how to articulate that to him because he was just like fully freaking out. And I was just like, it's okay. You're fine. You're yeah. great. You're fine. So it was just me being like, and then I got in my head and I was like, oh, maybe it's me. And then I was like, no, it's not me.
It's not you.
It's definitely you. It's your body.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I wasted time. I wasted months. I wasted yeah, 2 months.
I mean, that's like 6 dates and 2 months is a lot of time and energy.
Yes.
That, like, you got to reclaim that time.
Yes, I got to reclaim that time, and I didn't know how. He also broke up with me.
Oh, well.
Because I was like, this will get better. We'll figure this out. It'll be fine. Then he was like, I don't know. I see you more of a friend. And I was like, I mean, sure, whatever.
Yeah, no. I need to know right away.
Okay, we have to take a break.
Okay.
One in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy, I think I said I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Do you like to break the rules? Are you curious about gift-giving etiquette? If so, I implore you to check out a very funny podcast called I Said No Gifts on the Exactly Right Network. Every Thursday, host Bridger Weinergaard invites his favorite people in comedy into his backyard to chat. He just has one rule: no gifts. Unfortunately, everyone has ignored this simple request. They all bring gifts and force Bridger to talk about it. In addition to yours truly, past visitors include Bowen Yang, Darcy Carden, Mitra Johari, and Weird Al Yankovic. Each episode includes a fun game, and Bridger offers perfect gift-giving advice to clueless listeners. In case you were wondering, I brought him cough drops, and it was a treat and a dream. Don't miss new episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. I don't know. Do you have any advice for me on how to get into a relationship?
Oh my God. Be yourself. Honestly, I don't think that there is universal dating or relationship advice. There isn't. Like, my first advice is, like, therapy, which obviously you do
I'm in therapy. I love therapy.
I love therapy so much. It really is the best thing. Everyone should do it.
I agree.
Yeah. So that is the first one. I think, like, okay, also I have a rule about unsolicited advice, which is that I don't give it. So you are...
I'm asking.
You are consenting to this experience. good. We got that out of the way. So because you have requested this advice to me, I find that pursuing relationships or pursuing dating is really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's, again, like such a cliche, but the idea of like it can't be when you're looking for it. I think there's some truth to that, at least for me, in my experience, in my relationship history, it's when I've been, like, in pursuit of it, mm-hmm. I fall into the wrong thing or something, like, very not right for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one. I think, like, focusing on yourself and your own hobbies is always important because it makes going into any new relationship stronger. Like, I have a lot of friends who they don't really know what they like or what mm-hmm. they want. And so they kind of will adapt their interests to whoever they're dating.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a trap, in my opinion, and
yes.
like so toxic. And you just really have to intimately know yourself and what you like and what your hobbies are and your favorite band and things like that. Mm-hmm. Not that like you can't evolve and change and appreciate another person's interest too. For sure, you can and you should. But so many people I know are, like, incredibly mutable mm-hmm. and kind of shapeshift to suit whoever they're with. And it's like, well, that's – I don't know. That doesn't seem correct.
No. That seems insane.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, I can do things that somebody else wants to do, but I'm not going to be like, this is my favorite thing.
I mean, I know a lot of people who – I've seen it, mm-hmm. you know.
I've also seen it where I'm like, yeah. I didn't know you liked this. And I'm like, well, you know, they like it, yeah. so I like it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, I've known you for a very long time, and suddenly,
you're skiing all the time.
Yeah.
Never seen you ski. You said you hate snow. Well,
you
now I like snow.
Dogs, and now
I love snow.
Yeah, yeah. It's really interesting. People who hate dogs suddenly are, like, you know, volunteering at dog adoptions. I'm like, that's
so wild. That's so much work.
Strange. It is.
That is so much work to be like, oh my God, they like dogs, so I'm going to go volunteer at a dog's shelter. I would never.
I mean, at least something like positive.
Yes.
But it just seems like quite the commitment to do something mm-hmm. you hate for the sake of someone else's interests. Why would I do that? Well, also, yeah. I'm like very stubborn and kind of a bitch. So that's why I wouldn't do that.
I'm also very stubborn, but also like too busy to like just take up somebody else's hobbies. I can't do
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Like, I have things I want to do. I'm going to do the things I want to do.
Yeah. All I want to do is pole dance and ride a motorcycle.
I actually really do. Have you done a pole dancing class?
Yes. I fucking love it. I haven't done it in 2 months because I fell off a motorcycle and I hurt my knee. But I have rehabilitated it
great.
With a lot of exercises from the internet. And now I think my knee is stronger than it was before, which is interesting.
That's exciting.
And I go to this place in North Hollywood. I fucking love it.
Oh, my God.
It's a lot of different, different bodies.
Oh, I love that.
Which I like. And then the instructors that I take classes with are very... very conscientious of, like, what your body can do based on what they've seen. So if a combination is just, like, you're not going to get it because your body just physically can't do that, I'll get, like, a little adjustment.
I like
that.
And
it's not, like, out loud, like, Nicole, you're not getting it, so here's what we're going to do. It's just, like, Nicole, try that one more time. Oh, okay. Why don't you do it this way? Mm-hmm. I'm, like, oh, okay. And I like that a lot.
I would love to do that. That's on my to-do list.
Do it.
I'm doing ClassPass right now, so I'm, like, trying a lot of different classes.
What's
you know?
A class that you've taken? Because I never liked group fitness until taking pole classes.
I really love group fitness. I don't know why, but, like, half of them I hate. So mm-hmm. it just depends on the studio. Like, sounds like those instructors are really great. I really love bar and Pilates, but the style, like, varies so wildly mm-hmm. from one studio to the next. And I used to go to one studio for a really long time just because it was, you know, close to me and convenient mm-hmm. and it is a name brand chain. And so I kind of saw it as, like, the right one to go to. Mm-hmm. But it was so body negative and wow. like the language that they use in the class is all very subliminally directed towards, like, getting married or getting a ring.
Oh,
and
no.
So it'll be like diamond out or, you know, because you're doing this to get a diamond on your finger.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a wild thing to say out loud in 2020. Like, that's
I know.
So crazy.
I know. And then have you read Gia Tolentino's book, no. Trick Mirror? Okay, you have to read it when you have time. But she, like, talks a lot about the history of bar. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting. I was like, oh, my God, no, I'm not going to go into it because it's not relevant anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of very coded language in a lot of group fitness classes, especially that are directed to women.
Yes.
And it's either, you know, perpetuating the idea that you have to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Getting your beach body is something
exactly.
I've heard in a Zumba class.
Totally. This is the moment that stands between you and that bikini.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. I'm like, can we not? Can we not? But I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love bar and Pilates in general. I love spinning. Yeah, nothing really out of the box. I would love to do, like, aerial yoga, but I think I might be too fat for that.
I don't know. Are you talking about, like, the silks?
Mm-hmm.
You're not.
I'm going to try it then.
Yeah, you're not.
Okay.
I think it's the same thing as, like, a pole, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because truly, like, you can only really do, like, I can't reach the top of the pole, which I assume would be, like, the most unsafe for a fat person to be at.
Right.
But it's like, I can't even get up there. So, like, what's right. what's the worry about it?
Yeah.
And I
guess I wonder about, like, the weight limit of the fabric of which people are doing the aerial yoga from.
Well, anytime I see two people on a thing, I'm like, well, those two people are probably, like, 200, maybe 300 pounds together. So if those
True.
Two people can be on it, one person of that weight could be on it. That's where Touché. My brain goes.
Now I will try it.
I think, yeah, try it.
Okay.
And if you are, just, like, before the class, I would ask. Just so,
yeah.
like, during the class, it's not like a,
anxiety.
Excuse me, big one.
Yeah. By
the you way. You can't be here, big one.
I know. One of the first times I went to, like, a spin class, I was so intimidated by the fact that, like, the rows are very narrow
mm-hmm.
and it's actually close to impossible to get between them. And then I learned that, oh, I have to get one, like, a bike on the end mm-hmm. of a row. Otherwise, I physically cannot get to the
mm-hmm.
bike. Like, I think a lot about accessibility in fitness spaces
yeah.
in that way.
I feel like it's that way because they don't expect fat people to work out. It's
yeah.
the same reason why.
But I thought they wanted us to be like that.
Well, it's a very confusing message because
so
they're like,
confusing.
We want you to exercise. All right, well, let me go buy some exercise clothes.
Yeah.
They don't exist. Like, Beyonce's line only goes to an extra large. I love Beyonce, but, like, that's fucked up.
It's especially
2020.
Fucked up. Because, one, it's Beyonce. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're all about her message of inclusivity. And two, it's Adidas. And Adidas does up plus to 3X. Size activewear.
Yes.
They work with plus size.
Yes, they work with Universal experts. Standard. Yeah. And they just had a line come out with them. And I was like, this should not have been allowed. This was very rude.
Right. They shouldn't be.
But yeah, it's like, then you get there. So like, I was going to LA Fitness in Hollywood for a while. It's a wild gym. Sometimes Hello Kitty will come in.
Wait,
a woman
literally?
With a giant Hello Kitty head who like takes pictures on Hollywood Boulevard will just come in with her head still on. It's my favorite thing I've ever seen. But for a while, people kept being like, good job. Keep coming back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I've never.
That's a fun one.
Never needed that before in my life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a really fun one. That was another one that was happening to me in some of these group classes. And I'd be like, I come here 5 times a week. Why are you congratulating me? Like, just because you've never seen me here.
And doesn't mean that this is my very first time.
Yeah. Someone once, a stranger in a class was like, wow, you like really kept up with everyone. And I was like, I could punch you in the face right now.
Yeah. I don't think people realize how dismissive they're making you feel. Like, you're it's just like, you came this one time and you're doing so good.
You're doing great.
Have you ever, like, picked up someone from a fitness class?
Like, for a date?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, no. That's
like
interesting.
That's a thing that, like, real fit people do. It's never occurred to me till right now to be like, oh, in a class, I could be like, hi.
Yeah. Wow. You should try that and report back. All I can think about now is how, like, on the apps, you know, when I had that moment, people who would write in their bio, like, really into people who are into fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what you're trying to actually say is no fat chicks.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, being, like, looking for a partner who's into fitness is okay to say.
Yeah. Coded language is always okay.
It's
God
great.
Forbid you just say, I don't like fat women. And it's okay to not like fat women. I don't think you should say I'm only into fitness. I once hooked up with this dude. I might have told this story. I don't know. Marissa, tell me if I did. But I met him on OkCupid. I went to his apartment and it was like a model apartment. It was filled with like faux leather furniture.
Mm.
And he had a dry erase board. Have I told this? We didn't, it was like a creaky bed and we fucked on the floor. Oh, okay.
What? God, please remember which episode so I can go back
to it.
Well,
I'll just tell you real quick. It ended with, so I was leaving and he goes, just because I'm into fitness doesn't mean I don't like your body. And then he closed the door and I was like, what? I had never felt crazier in my life. But yeah, that's the world we're living in where people are just real mean.
It's, you know. At least they really put it out there.
Yep.
Uh-huh. There's that.
And then on the way home, I was like, well, at least I don't live in a model apartment. At least I have a home.
Yeah. He could have just been the leasing agent.
I think he was. And I think it was like the apartment they show people because none of his stuff was in the closet. It was all folded on the floor.
Oh, he did not live there.
But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You meet the wildest people on apps. That's like the other thing. Like, you live a life a certain way, and then you meet someone who lives incorrectly, and you're like, oh, this is bad.
And like, on one hand, it's good. Maybe it's nice to like meet people who we might never otherwise encounter. And I think that's what I love about like Instagram, for example. Like, I meet all kinds of people who I never would probably interact with in my existing social circles. And that's cool. And then other times I'm like, who raised you and where'd you come from? Now you're like making me want to get back on the apps. Like, I love my girlfriend so much.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I would include her in this process. But now I'm just curious.
It's bad. And I feel like it's getting worse.
Really?
Yes.
What are some of the 2020 dating trends on the apps that you've noticed?
Let's see. Let's see what's going on Tinder.
Like, what was the last message you got?
I haven't really been opening up Tinder very much because I'm getting ads on Tinder. So I got a message from Smile Direct Club and it's like, fall in love with your smile, straighten your teeth for 20% less than braces. And I'm like, what? I don't want to fuck a dentist putting, like, what? Let's see. This person.
Have you ever hit on a dentist, though? Like,
no.
While getting your teeth done?
No, because my mouth is open. What would I say?
Oh, no, they're always talking when your mouth is open.
They are always talking when your mouth is open.
It's like their kink.
Let's see. I just love an open mouth and having a woman with a mouth open who can't talk back to me. So I went back and forth talking to this guy who were just truly saying very little to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, so one of the first things he asked was, you got some nip pics? And I was like, nip pic? You just want a picture of my nipples?
Like a just close up nipple.
Nip pics? And I said, no. And he goes, ah, no worries. So I said, just Google fat black naked. And then he said, ha ha ha. And he was like, what you looking for? What are you into? And I was like, I don't know. Good sex. And he's like, well, I'm 8 inches, rock hard, and looking to smash. What part of town are you in? And I told him.
You're lying, by the way. Right?
I mean, probably.
Knows? Yeah.
I think it's, I guess men do measure their dicks.
I really don't know.
Me either.
Very uneducated in this department. Inexperienced.
But then he asked, you nasty? And I said, yeah, I'll slop on your dick. And then he goes, nut on your face? And I said, no, I'll be wearing makeup. And then he rolled his eyes at me. So then I was just like, okay, when are you free? And he was like, right now, but I have to go on a run. And I was like, well, okay. It's just been the most frustrating conversation. And then this started in June of 2019. And then every
now and you're still talking to him?
Every now and again, he'll be like, what are you doing? And I'll be like, I'm in New York. And he's like, for good? And I said, no, I'm back Sunday. And then he goes, you know, let me clap them cheeks. And I said, sure. And then he was like, you got an Instagram? And I said, yeah. And he's like, what is it? And I was like, yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, not opening that door.
Yeah. And then so Thursday, he sent me a GIF of a woman searching for something, which I guess is him searching for me. I don't know.
Or for
he's
love.
He's like kind of attractive. He's got a big old surfboard in his picture. A kayak.
Oh, he's sporty.
Long hair. He loves being outside.
Have you reverse Google image searched?
I don't know how to do that.
You just like screen cap a pic and then put it in Google.
What?
What?
That's all they're doing on Catfish?
Yes! That's literally it.
I thought they had technology that wasn't accessible to me.
That's like the whole thing with Catfish. It's like, how is this still going on and nobody is reverse Google image searching?
Interesting.
It's perplexing.
But so if you reverse Google search me, which is show you Nicole Byer, then you...
Right. People would for sure think you're a catfish, which is kind of funny.
I've been that asked a couple too. Of times if I was a catfish and I was like, I'd pick someone better.
First of all, you're great.
Thank you.
Okay, so this Tinder guy, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I just need to ask. You've been doing this back and forth
since 7 months.
Uh-huh. It is time to unmatch.
You think? And not send him another message? I just sent him another message.
Ask him right now. Be like, what's up? What are you doing right now?
I just said, hi. Okay, I'll say, what are you doing?
If he responds, I would love for you to like see him within the next 1 to 72 hours, and if you don't, unmatch him. That's like my personal take.
Very good advice.
Yeah, because I just feel 7 months of, hey, what's going on? Like, it's not going anywhere.
Nope, it truly isn't. And then this other man I was talking to, he sent me a message. He was like, I'm trying to figure out if this is real, but you talk about the Minions, and I listened to your podcast, so I think it is real. And I was like, okay. So then we just like talked about nothing. And then he never asked me out. Like it ended with him being like, I really like your Ursula joke and you're special. And I was like, okay. Like, very kind that you like my work. I just don't.
But would you like really want to date a fan anyways? Because I think it's like weird and gross.
It is.
Like for me at least.
It is weird. Because then I've dated people who are like, yeah, I know who you are. I am a fan. And And I'm like, okay, and it's okay. And then, like, later down the line, they have, like, all these questions about my friends who they yeah. also like. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if you're, like, dating me or, like, just dating me to, like, ooh, maybe one day I get to meet my other favorite comedian. Have you ever dated a fan?
Not on purpose. Mm. I would, like, find out after the fact. Or, like, oh. there was someone who dated one of my best friends who knew that we were friends mm-hmm. and was a fan of mine. Mm-hmm. And, like, on their dates kept bringing me up. And my friend just got really bad vibes about them. Was like, are you just dating me to, like, get to know Nicolette or be mm-hmm. her friend? Because that's weird. And I was like, yeah, that's really weird. Like, do yeah, not.
That's bizarre.
But yeah, there. I mean, I dated someone who, like, pretended they didn't know who I was for a while.
Uh-oh.
And then would, like, bring up things that I never mentioned.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, so, like, how much do you actually know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how deep have you gone into the blog archive?
Oh, boy.
And it was very deep.
That's creepy. That's
yeah.
so
it's just dishonest.
Yes, because if you know things, say it.
Right. Right.
And then the last person I dated who was a fan, I would forget what I told them. Mm. And then when they would bring up things that I was like, I don't think I told you this, but I was like, but I might have. It was just, it like fucked with my head because yeah. I was like, I don't know. It's like I asked my sister to stop listening to my podcast because I would go see her. And she would just be talking about things that I said on the podcast. And I was like, I don't think I told you that yet.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh, is that weird? And I was like, it's fully weird. Mm-hmm. Because then it's not me sharing my life with you. It's like you are following my life. And then there's no need for you to talk to
me. Right. Right. And then the whole thing for me, too, was like, and maybe it goes back to what I was saying before about like people not having their own interests or hobbies. Like mm-hmm. I couldn't trust that what they were telling me was honest and real, or if they were like catering to what they thought I liked
mm-hmm.
or what they thought I experienced. And it gives me a chill. I hate it so much. Yeah. So that was nice when I met my girlfriend. She was like, I don't know anything about you or what you do, and I don't use social media. And I was like, that is the hottest thing
wow.
ever.
She doesn't use social media.
She does now, but mm-hmm. not when we met, which was great. She yeah. had like 5 photos on Instagram. I love this.
I want someone who doesn't use social media at all.
I know.
But then I'm like, but how will I find out about you? But then it's like, oh, I guess by talking
by
to
talking.
You.
By talking.
All right, Nicolette, we've come to the end. A question I like to ask everyone. I've missed a couple of people, but would you date me?
I would date you.
Yay!
Yeah. I think we like the first time we met, I said that. Maybe. Maybe it was in my head.
I don't think you said it out loud to me.
No. I was with my spouse, so I probably wouldn't have said it out loud.
Yeah. You know what's funny? You sold things to the Plus Bus.
Oh, my God, I did. Yes.
And I bought one of your skirts. I didn't realize it was one of your skirts, and I, like, brought it up to the register, and they were like, this is a Nicolette Mansion exclusive.
Oh, my God, which one was it?
It is pink tiered with flowers.
Sounds cute. So like,
I love that you don't even remember.
I don't remember.
I have so much clothing, it's disgusting.
Same.
It's bad.
Yeah.
I need to get rid of some things.
Go to the Plus Bus.
Maybe I will do that.
Yeah, Northeast LA, hit them up.
Well, I donate everything to the Downtown Women's Shelter.
Yes.
And then the last bag I donated, I had a couple pair of stripper shoes that like didn't fit me. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe there's a down on their luck stripper who needs
yeah.
these.
Why isn't there a dress for success for strippers?
Because people look down on it, and I'm like, it's valid work.
Sex work is work.
Yes.
1,000,100%.
It's so crazy. It's like, so we look down. Oh, my God. Okay, so the Super Bowl, we're way off topic, but whatever. the Super Bowl, I watched the halftime show. I fucking loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Shakira killed when she went, oh, I screamed because I loved it so much.
Yeah.
And then J-Lo did such a beautiful job. And then her daughter was singing, and then she was pole dancing. And then I woke up this morning to a bunch of people being like, I can't believe this was allowed. My kids were watching. And I was like, what was wrong? What was bad? I was so confused.
Doesn't like Budweiser, aren't they like the lead sponsor? Why is that not a problem?
It's like, so you're okay with your kid watching beer commercials and shit?
Or like men getting permanent brain injuries because they're running into each other at full force with yeah. helmets on.
Yeah. Football's not great. CTE is the real thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It really is. What a triple standard.
Uh-huh. And then Adam Levine last year was shirtless and nobody had a problem with that.
Just say you hate women.
I would rather so and go, I hated this performance because I hate scantily clad women.
Yeah.
Not because my children are watching, not because it's bad for women. It's like, I hate women who are dressed like this.
Be honest.
I'd be like, okay, cool. That's your opinion. Yeah. Let's move on.
Don't euphemize it all like, I love fitness. Don't be one of those people.
Yeah, don't do that. Nicolette, do you have anything that you want to promote?
Myself. I mean, people can follow me all over the internet if they so wish. I'm doing a series of really fun pop-ups with Nordstrom different cities across America. So stay tuned for those. And yeah, there's a lot of secret projects in the works. So
I love it. I want to know about them.
So for now, the thing I'm going to promote is registering to vote, because it's a very important election year. And however you choose to vote, your vote matters, unless you vote for Donald Trump. But that's your prerogative.
I agree, because Donald Trump, he's not nice. That's my hot take. I think he's a very mean man.
He's mean.
Let's see. Okay, if you like this episode of Oh, Why Won't You Date Me, you can subscribe. You can like it on iTunes. You can rate it 5 stars. If you send me something nasty hitting on me, or just something nasty in general, I'll read it. This says, I don't know if I've read this before. Okay, dear Nicole, I'm wildly homosexual, but I would love to hire a couple sex workers, dress them up as the Fruit of the Loom fruit, and have them fuck us doggy style while we stoically make eye contact until one of us comes and then leave without saying a word. Did I read this one already? Okay, Nicole, I'd love to use your pussy juice to shine Captain Picard's head. Use it as a light source and go Star Trekking into your Voyager. I'm no good at nasty, funny messages to men, let alone women. So I tried to go down the route of what your childhood crush is. Okay, this one was on Twitter. Nicole Byer, sup, mommy? Trying to send you something obscene here, so here it goes. I want to rub Cheeto dust all around your areolas with my own, and then let out a Chester the Cheetah growl, and we both boob climax at the same time from boobgasming that Rihanna invented. I didn't know Rihanna invented boobgasms.
I didn't either, and she's like the background on my phone.
You learn something new every day. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.
Do you like to break the rules? Are you curious about gift-giving etiquette? If so, I implore you to check out a very funny podcast called I Said No Gifts on the Exactly Right Network. Every Thursday, host Bridger Weinergaard invites his favorite people in comedy into his backyard to chat. He just has one rule, no gifts. Unfortunately, everyone has ignored this simple request. They all bring gifts and force Bridger to talk about it. In addition to yours truly, past visitors include Bowen Yang, Darcy Carden, Mitra Johari, and Weird Al Yankovic. Each episode includes a fun game, and Bridger offers perfect gift-giving advice to clueless listeners. In case you were wondering, I brought him cough drops, and it was a treat and a dream. Don't miss new episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.